Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity that are living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this fifth day of November, 2018. And before I get to introducing our guest today, I was just very delighted to receive, just moments ago, seconds before the program started, I received a wonderful commendation from actor Alfonso Rachel. He also goes by the name Zoe Rachel. He was Detective Stark. He portrayed Detective Stark in the recent movie Gosnell, which is still in theaters, the movie about the world's biggest serial killer. It is a quite a powerful film that I urge you all to see. Kermit Gosnell, who's now spending a life in prison, who went above and beyond what the normal abortionist does, although as a very strongly pro-life individual, I could say that there's barely any difference, to be perfectly honest. And I think that actually comes out in the film, especially during the cross-examination by the actor portraying Kermit Gosnell's defense attorney when he is cross-examining a legitimate and highly regarded abortion doctor, that you see the fact that there's very little going on. That's why he was bringing up the technical things that happen in a typical abortion to defend his client. But this man was a monster who was delivering babies prematurely in order to murder them, because it's an easier task for a quote-quote doctor to do something like that than to abort the baby when it's larger inside the womb. But Zoe Rachel, the actor, as I said, portraying Detective Stark in Gosnell, said, "It's a blessing to get to talk with Chris Arnson. Glad he's doing his part connecting and filtering culture and politics through the gospel to help preserve our republic." Thank you very much, Zoe Rachel. I'm honored by that commendation that you sent me, and it will be up on the Iron Sharpens Iron website, God willing, very shortly. Well, today I am delighted to have two guests, one who is a returning guest, who will be our second guest today. We'll actually be joining my first guest about an hour into the program. But my first guest is a first-time guest, Chaplain Collie Foster. He is a retired major in the United States Army, retired from active duty in January of 2018 after 20 years of service in the United States Army. He's currently working as corporate chaplain with Corporate Chaplains of America, and we are going to be discussing the movie Indivisible, Lessons to be Learned from Indivisible, the movie, and we'll start with Chaplain Collie Foster for the first hour, and we'll both be joined by, God willing, Jenny Reese Clark, who is the wife of Chaplain Caleb Schumacher, 1st Battalion, 38th Field Artillery Regiment in the United States Army. And she is a blogger, a motivational speaker, and author of the novel Field of Influence. But it's my honor and privilege, first of all, to welcome for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Chaplain Collie Foster.
Thank you, Chris. It's an honor to be with you today.
It's an honor to be with you, too. And what we typically do when we have first-time guests on, especially, or actually only when those guests happen to be Christian, and that would be the majority of our guests, but sometimes we do have non-Christians on the program. But when we have a Christian on the guest for the first time, we typically want them to give a summary of their own salvation testimony, get an idea of what kind of a religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and then what providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and eventually were used by him to save you.
I grew up in a Christian family. I was exposed to church and was exposed to the gospel, you know, just about throughout my entire childhood. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, I committed my life to Christ, of course, realizing that, you know, as a 7 year old, you have not really done a whole lot of terrible, bad things in your life. And so as I grew up in the church and grew in my Christian walk, I struggled with my salvation because I would hear individuals give their testimony of how God had saved them from drugs, sex, you know, you name it, they'd been saved from these things. And so I struggled with it, and I finally one day went to my pastor, and we sat down and talked for a while, and I explained to him what I was struggling with, and he helped me so much to understand. His comment to me was, Kali, he said, you are not saved, you know, out of those things, but you are saved from those things. And so that helped me so much to help me realize that, you know, yes, I had not gone down that terrible road that some people have, but God's, through his grace, kept me from having to go through those things that often people have to go through in their lives. You know, it was probably when I was about 18, 19 years old, God began to, you know, place a call on my life for the ministry. And I went on to college and seminary, and, you know, I pastored for about 6 years. And then, you know, God began to deal with me about, you know, the call into the chaplaincy. So I began to look into what was necessary to enter into the you know, military chaplaincy. I'll be honest with you, I had a desire, first of all, to go into the Air Force, but that was just not in God's plan. So I pursued the Army, and like I said, 20 years later, I'm retiring from the Army. So it's, you know, and God has brought me through so much over the years. After, you know, just to share a little little piece of my life, when I was about 2 years into my time in the Army, I was diagnosed with cancer, and in all, they were supposed, you know, the Army was supposed to have chaptered me out and, you know, sent me home, but it was not my desire, and I have to say that I was struggling again with my faith, and why did God bring me to this point in my life to just leave me hanging? And I had people literally praying for me around the world for my healing, but also for my spiritual journey that I was going through at the time. And I made it through that, and 18 years later, I'm still alive, doing well, cancer-free, and God has used me so much in my experience with cancer to help other individuals, especially in my ministry. I served two tours as a hospital chaplain in the Army, and so I was able to use that my experience as a cancer survivor to minister to individuals who was working or dealing with the same issues.
Well, praise God.
So, so that's how, you know, God has worked so much in my life. And then, of course, after retirement, he's brought me into, you know, kept me in the ministry, doing basically the same thing I did in the Army, but just doing it in the corporate world.
Yeah, tell us about Corporate Chaplains of America. Exactly what is that organization and what does it do?
Well, right. It's an organization that we place chaplains in the workplace throughout the United States and also into Canada, where we place chaplains in companies to provide spiritual care, personal care. We provide counseling, whether it be personal counseling, marriage counseling, spiritual counseling. We're just there to, bring God to the workplace, because typically the average person in their lifetime will spend about 90% of their life at the workplace. So what better place to have God, in your life is right there in the workplace, because we tend to bring everything that goes on in our lives, whether it's home issues, financial issues, whatever, we bring it to the workplace. And so we're able to minister to men and women in the workplace and help them get through their days and those difficult days they face.
Now, is the Corporate Chaplains of America organization comprised of chaplains from one theological camp, or are you a broader organization that would expand beyond the limitations of a handful of denominations? How exactly does that work?
Well, I can speak to the point of the fact that we everyone that's part of the corporate chaplains are evangelicals. So our mission is to go into a workplace to establish relationships with the workers, with the hope that we can at some point present the gospel in a non-threatening way, so that individuals can have that opportunity to accept Christ into their life.
Great. And just for our listeners' information, we'll be announcing this later, God willing, but if you want more information about Corporate Chaplains of America, go to chaplain.org, chaplain.org, that's chaplain.org. Well, the movie that we are going to be addressing today is Indivisible. I will give a synopsis of the movie that the producers of this film provide. Indivisible is based on the extraordinary true story of Army Chaplain Darren Turner and his wife Heather. With a strong, faith-filled marriage, the Turners are ready to follow their calling, serving God, family, and country. Fresh from seminary and basic training, Chaplain Turner and his family arrive at Fort Stewart. Yet before the Turners can even unpack their new house, Darren is deployed to Iraq. Heather is left taking care of their three young children alone, as well as serving the families of the other deployed soldiers. Despite a desire to stay connected with their loved ones, the harsh realities of war take a daily toll over the course of the battalion's extended deployment. Meanwhile, back home, babies are born, kids keep growing, and nerves are frayed with every late-night knock at the door. With deeply etched battle scars, the soldiers' long-awaited homecoming is much different than any of their families anticipated. Carrying burdens the others can't comprehend, the Turners must decide if they're willing to face one more battle, the fight to save their marriage. From the director of The Grace Card and the studio that brought you Fireproof and War Room comes Indivisible, the story of one marriage, one family under God. The movie stars Sarah Drew, Justin Bruning, Jason George, Tia Mowry, and Madeline Carroll. I saw the movie last night. By the way, we are conducting this interview by the strong urgings of my friend Jenny Reese Clark, who I mentioned earlier is going to be joining us later. She is wife of Chaplain Caleb Schumacher, and she saw the film and loved it, urged me to do an interview on it, and also recommend that Chaplain Collie Foster be a part of our discussion. Jenny's husband is away overseas, actually, I believe in South Korea. I can't remember. Do you remember Chaplain Collie?
Yeah, he's in South Korea.
Right. Okay. So I saw the movie last night, and I enjoyed the movie. It is always refreshing to see a movie that honors God, does not mock God or mock Christianity, that takes the belief in God with great importance, does not portray Christians as lunatics or as hypocritical evildoers and so on, as many films do. I'm just going to give my two disagreements with the film, and you can, when you pick up on your view of the film and also how you think we can learn lessons from it. My main concerns with the film are that although the gospel is present in the film, we do hear during a baptism and at least a couple of other times the fact that we need Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for life, for new life. And so that is a very good thing that we actually have the gospel presented in the movie. My concern was we're not really told, that I can remember in the movie, why that is the case. We're not told of the sinful nature of man. We're not told of man's worthiness of hell. So that is one concern that I have. And the other concern that I have, and this is more of a cinematic or storytelling concern, the two of the major characters in the movie, and I'm promising not to give away too much, so obviously this is a movie and people want to see it without having the ending spoiled or anything, so I do not plan on doing that. But there's two characters in the movie who are rebels, who are having serious problems in their lives and with God, and the transformations that take place, one of which was because of the gospel, the other one we're not really ever told, to my recollection, that it was a gospel-related transformation in the other person's life, the black neighbor of the chaplain. But we're not told of his transformation. But the problem I have as far as storytelling or in regarding to filmmaking is that those transformations happen very quickly in the film, and we really don't get to really discover and know more about the darkness of these individuals for any length of period of time, so that we can more appreciate the transformation that takes place in them. So I don't know if that's because of time limitations. They wanted to dedicate more of the film to other aspects of this true story. But that would be, I guess, the main thing. And by the way, I do have to tell our listeners, because they may be expecting something else when they go to see Indivisible. This is not really what you would call a war movie. It's not a movie that has a lot of battle footage in it and so on. Of course, there is some, but it's not a movie that would be comparable to Saving Private Ryan, for instance, or the movie that just flew out of my head that maybe you can jog my memory about, the Seventh-day Adventist Soldier. That was a really phenomenal true story. Do you know what movie I'm speaking of?
I know the movie. You're
Hacksaw Ridge. Hacksaw Ridge.
Yes.
Hacksaw Ridge. Those movies are much more vivid and graphic in detail about battle and war and so on. And of course, there is a disagreement amongst Christians on whether or not Christian filmmakers should create, or whether Christians should view and take their families to see movies that are graphic in their violent depictions of war or death or murder or anything else similar to that. There were even Roman Catholics. There were even traditionalist Roman Catholics that were protesting against Mel Gibson's film, The Passion of the Christ, because of the detailed footage, or should I say depictions, of Christ being tortured and so on. So this is something that people are in disagreement over. Now, having said all that, I just wanted to get all of that off my chest. And I do want to say that I did enjoy the film, and I do believe that it is something that I would recommend people see, especially with their families and their children, because there's nothing in the movie that is really, I think, something that parents would need to prevent their children from seeing. But anyway, if you could pick up where I left off there in your assessment of the film.
Well, I agree with you. There was some, you know, they did not elaborate a lot on the conversion or the transformation process, but I think a lot of it just in, you know, watching the movie, I think a lot of it was for time purpose, because if you went into full details into the life of the major and his transformation and others, that it would end up being a 3 or 4 hour movie. So I can see where that they were having to keep it to a reasonable time. You know, I think that the movie portrayed very accurately the life in the day of a chaplain. I know that I told my wife, we went to see it Saturday. And I told my wife after it was all over with that it brought back some very uncomfortable feelings and uncomfortable, memories. You know, just some of the things that we experienced while I was over there, because actually I was sharing with Jenny yesterday. We were texting one another and shared with her that actually Darren and I were in Iraq at the same time. I didn't know Darren, but we were actually in Iraq at the same time during the extension, because we were there for 12-month rotations, and then all of a sudden they started doing a build-up to 15 months, and so that's where Darren was pulled in, that he was gone for the 15 months. So I was there during the same time frame that he was, the reason why there was the buildup is that we were starting to see more attacks, more insurgency, so that the violence was beginning to increase. And so, again, watching some of those the movie playing out in some of the attacks that were taking place on their FOB and things like that, it did bring back a lot of memories, and needless to say, I had to sit there and hold my wife's hand quite a bit.
Wow.
Because it was just bringing back a lot of memories.
Yeah, when you said, were the memories more from the brief battle scenes or from his post-traumatic stress disorder that he developed, the chaplain?
I think most of mine was just reliving some of those battle situations, because I did not very fortunately, when I was in Iraq, I did not lose any of my soldiers, and I'm very thankful for that. We did not lose anyone, mainly because I was not in a line unit or a combat unit. I was in a signal unit, and so we did have soldiers that would go out what we would call outside the wire, but it was not like a infantry or armor unit might face, where they were probably outside the wire most all the time. So I did not see a lot of death like he did, and but I was I was at a location where we did on numerous occasions were being attacked with mortars and rockets. And so I experienced some of the same things that he did, but just maybe not quite as graphic as his were, So I did not, suffer from the PTSD that many of our soldiers deal with after deployments. There's times, even now, and that's been, I was deployed from 2006 to 2008, in Iraq, and even today, I still experience there's certain sounds, there's certain smells that will bring back memories for me. So to a degree, you know, that there's probably in my head, there's some of that that still lingers there, but it's not to the extent that Darren went through after deployment.
It's interesting how you, having been a veteran, because of the fact that you actually experienced certain things, that those scenes would trigger memories, unpleasant and hard to deal with memories, whereas I, as just your average American moviegoer, who has obviously been desensitized because of all the violence that I have seen growing up in movies, this, perhaps you would even agree that this, in spite of any negative memories it stirred up in you, it's really, compared to many war movies, very mildly portrayed in comparison. I have to use that word, comparison. And there is not a lot of gore or anything like that in the filming of the movie.
No. You know, there's no gore, and I appreciate that part. But I guess a lot of it, again, not to give away too much of the movie, but that one instant where he and his chaplain assistant are walking and talking, and the mortar hits behind them and explodes, and they go flying. That's probably the most graphic part of the movie that I remember right now. And you know, and that's and but that still brings back memories, because there was times during my deployment that came very close to being hit with mortars and rockets within matter of, you know, maybe 100 feet on one occasion. So that's what brought it back. It wasn't the gore. It was just hearing those sounds of explosions. And like I said, even today, 10 years later, if I hear certain sounds, I will have this, you know, just this uneasy feeling that comes over me, and I have to realize, you know what, I'm not deployed anymore. I'm safe and sound in the United States, and I've got my family around me, so I don't have anything to fear. And so that's, you know, so other than that one scene, you know, for the most part, the movie was very mild compared to other movies that I've seen before.
Right, and as I said, there's a difference of opinion amongst even believers about to what extent, if any, a film should carry those. As somebody, as I said earlier, who has been watching movies all my life, even before I was a Christian, and seeing some pretty gruesome and realistic depictions of war and murder and so on, I was pretty desensitized watching the film. I almost thought to myself, why does this chaplain have post-traumatic stress disorder? I mean, what he experienced as I'm sitting there watching it, in the realms of a movie, I couldn't help but wonder, wow, that was a big transition from what he experienced to having post-traumatic stress disorder. And yet, of course, the reality that he experienced, nobody can know the intensity of that reality watching a movie.
No, you can't. And I think a lot of times, and I mean, it's not just chaplains, but I think that sometimes we, and I'm speaking for myself, the things that we experience, the things that we, came in contact with, many times we internalize, and I'm speaking for myself, I internalize things because, you know, we don't always have someone that we can turn to and be able to talk to. You know, we listen to our soldiers. When I was active, we listened to our soldiers. We heard their story, but there was often times that we couldn't tell our story. And I can't say that that's what was going on with Darren, because like I said, I don't know Darren personally. But sometimes we tend to internalize everything and we don't talk about it because we don't always have anyone to talk to.
By the way, you said something that triggered a memory in me that I have not even thought about in a long time. When you were saying that certain sounds can even trigger unpleasant memories from your military experience and so on. There was a dear couple in my church that I have known since the 1980s. Nigel and Barbara Stone, both of them are now in glory with Christ for eternity. They were, I'm assuming, 20 years my senior, approximately. They never would divulge their ages. but I can remember, they were from London, England. And even though I think they spent most of their lives in the United States, moving here probably in their 20s or 30s, they still held on to their dignified British accents. And Barbara Stone, Nigel may have too, but he never spoke of it to me. But Barbara Stone remembers the bombing of London as a child by the Nazis, by the Germans, I should say, during World War II. And she was very disturbed and uneasy every 4th of July, living here in the United States, but with all the fireworks going off, it triggered that memory. Every single year that she heard the fireworks, it triggered that unpleasant memory as a child experiencing the bombing of London. So that's an interesting phenomenon you mentioned there.
It is, and for me, it's something just as simple as driving by and a dumpster is being emptied and the metal, slapping metal, that sound sounds just like a mortar exploding.
Wow.
When the metal slaps against the metal. And there's been many times that I've been driving by and there's been a dumpster being emptied by the dumpster, the truck, and I hear that sound. And when I first returned from Iraq, I would actually push the gas quite hard and get away from it. And then I began to realize, you know what, I'm safe. I'm not in the war zone. So, but still, there's those moments. Sounds and smells will cause the brain is a wonderful creative thing, but it also is it logs a lot of memory, and it the memory sticks with certain triggers. I don't know how to explain it, but I'm sure some of our psychiatrists or psychologists could explain it better than I could.
Well, we're going to go to our first station break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air, send us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And I can fully imagine if you have a question for Chaplain Collie Foster that involves some kind of disturbing or sorrowful or terrifying military experience or combat experience, I could very completely understand you're wanting to remain anonymous. But if it's not a personal and private issue, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the good old USA. Don't go away, God willing. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, Phil Johnson here. I'm executive director of John MacArthur's media ministry, Grace to You. And I'm also an occasional guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm delighted that my friend Chris Arnzen and I will be heading down to Atlanta for the G3 conference, where I'll be joining James White, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, Mark Dever, Conrad Mbewe, Todd Friel, Josh Bice, and a host of other speakers to address the topic, a biblical understanding of missions. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you all at this very important conference. From January 17th through the 19th, make sure you stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron exhibitors booth to say hi to Chris. For more details, go to g3conference.com. That's G3Conference.com. See you there.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Chris Aronson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc.
Chris Aronson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisaronson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
And welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our two guests today, one of whom is already on the show, but we have Chaplain Collie Foster. We're soon going to be joined, God willing, by a chaplain's wife, Jenny Reese Clark. We are addressing the movie that is in theaters right now, a movie that we have all seen, and I saw actually last night, that I do recommend, in spite of any differences I have with the filmmaking or some of the content theologically. I'm speaking of Indivisible. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. The issue of, I wanted to ask you a question, Chaplain Collie, about post-traumatic stress disorder. It is something that most of us have not experienced and will likely not experience ever. I know that this is not only attached to those who have been veterans of war. Some people have this just because of a horrible childhood that was marked with cruelty and perhaps even physical or sexual violence and that kind of a thing. And I mean, even those who are involved in the police force or the fire department may have this. But explain to our listeners in more detail from your knowledge as a chaplain. I know that you're not a psychologist to my knowledge, but as a chaplain, tell us more about this post-traumatic stress disorder that we hear about, most of us hear about it on television or in a movie.
Well, I mean, you know, like you said, I don't know a whole lot about it from a psychological standpoint. I just know that, you know, as I said before, our brains are so uniquely created that the brain will actually try its best to protect itself. And so I think part of the process, as I understand it, and is that, you know, when we do face a traumatic experience, whether it be combat, whether it be through physical or emotional, you know, torture, so to speak, it's that our brain shuts down, and we're stuck in one particular area where we're struggling with. That I know a number of years ago, I was able to attend some training to kind of help me understand a little bit about post-traumatic stress and to maybe even help soldiers work through it. And one of the tools that's out there is what they call prolonged exposure therapy, and it's a long, lengthy process for an individual to go through. It can be 12 to 18, you know, therapy sessions that a person is taken through, and just like the title of it, prolonged exposure, is that an individual sitting down with a therapist, they literally tell their story over and over and over until they'll reach what they call a sticking point or an area that they're struggling with, that, you know, whatever trauma they've gone through, that it may be they're not able to get past that particular event. And so the therapist would take them through the process until they're able to overcome that particular traumatic event and then they will then continue their story. So depending on what's happened to an individual, whether it be combat or physical or emotional abuse, their brain was trying its best to protect that individual from memory, it comes back to haunt them. So a therapist would take them through this long process and help them realize that when they hear a sound, smell a particular smell, or they can't get past that traumatic event, the process that they go through helps them to realize that what I'm experiencing is not real. What I mean by not real, the event took place, but them reliving it is not real. And so once they're able to get past the idea that what they're reliving is not reality, they can, as many times, and I've seen it where the soldier, in which I can speak to, have been able to overcome a lot of their PTS experience and live very normal, functional lives without having to deal with the traumatic event all over again.
One of the most profound truths that came out of the movie for me, that is something that we who are Christians have to remind ourselves over and over and over again, even those, dare I say, who, like myself, are Calvinists. I happen to be a thoroughgoing 5-point Calvinist Reformed Baptist, and I believe in the sovereignty of God over all things that have occurred and will ever occur in heaven and on earth and anywhere in the universe. They are by his design. They are ordained and occur by his decree. But still, even though I believe in that theologically, I very often find myself getting disappointed and being angry and losing patience with things that occur in this life. Now, of course, when we ourselves are sinning or disobeying God or ignoring biblical commands and so on, or ignoring biblical truths, we are always to correct ourselves. We are always to repent and so on. We are not to be satisfied with our behavior. But as far as things that are beyond our control, especially, I very often find myself not acting like someone who believes that God is in total control over everything. But the chaplain that was the superior of the main character in the movie, he reminds the army chaplain, his subordinate, Darren Turner, he reminds him that he is not only to trust in God when God does things according to the way he, meaning Darren, believes that they should occur, that God very often acts in ways that bring us sorrow, that disappoint us, that upset us. But God is nonetheless still in control, just as much as he is in control at all times. And we are not to only think God is loving and merciful and all-powerful if he answers prayer according to the way we want him to answer prayer. I mean, obviously, I'm assuming that that was a powerful truth that you gleaned from the movie as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I'm a firm believer that, everything is in God's hands, and that everything we face, God's going to get the glory out of it, no matter what. It may be that we go through some very difficult times in our lives and we struggle. And as you've already said, and I actually was talking with a young man today, sometimes our own actions, there's always consequences to any action. If we do good, then there's good consequences. But if we do bad, there's always going to be bad consequences. And So it's by choices that we make. So, again, not everything is in our control. Those things that we do control by our actions, we will pay consequences for, and we may face some very difficult times. But I think that no matter what happens to us, and I have to go back to what Romans 8:28 tells us, that whatever, and realizing that we often take that verse out of context, but I still believe that, God is going to take whatever we face in our lives, good or bad, he's going to take it and he's going to turn it around for his good, so that his name is glorified and that, ultimately, people are going to be able to see him, not necessarily us, but people are going to be able to see him, and then we as the ones who may be the recipients of hard times or whatever, can see, maybe in the end, we may not see it immediately, but we can see God working in our lives and help us to grow in our spiritual walk.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. The midway break is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, every day needs to air their own public service announcements and commercials in order to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So I ask of you, as I do every day, to please make the best use of this time during this elongated break by writing down all of the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, because the more often you patronize our advertisers, the more often they are going to be blessed financially, obviously, and that means the more likely they are going to remain our advertisers and keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air, because we depend upon their advertising dollars to exist in addition to the faithful and generous contributions of our listeners. So please write down all of the information that you need that is provided by our advertisers. And also take this time to write down questions for our guest, Chaplain Collie Foster. They do not need to exclusively be about the movie Indivisible. They can be just general questions about his being a chaplain. They can be general questions about Christians in the military. They can be just general questions about the Christian life, since he is a chaplain. And serves in some capacity in a realm similar to that of a pastor. We would welcome general questions on the Christian life and faith and belief as well. So our email address is chrisaronson@gmail.com. We may be blessed with the inclusion of Jenny Reese Clark during the second half of the program. We're not 100% sure because Jenny is at a doctor's office right now, unexpectedly. Nothing serious, don't worry, but she is going to be hopefully joining us. Hopefully that examination is going to be over before the program is over and we can include Jenny in our discussion. But if you have questions, our email address is chrisaronson@gmail.com, chrisaronson@gmail.com, and please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. If you live outside of the USA, only remain anonymous if your question is a personal and private one. God willing, we'll be back shortly with our guest, Chaplain Collie Foster, and hopefully also Jenny Reese Clark. Don't go away. We'll be back after these messages from our sponsors.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you purchase a minimum of $50 worth of merchandise, you will receive absolutely free the book Always Reforming by David Engelsma, published by Reform Free Publishing Association. And on top of that, you'll get free delivery on that purchase of $50 or more. So make sure you mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We just have a couple of announcements for special events that are coming up that we want you to be aware of before we return to our guest, Chaplain Collie Foster. First of all, the day after tomorrow, on Wednesday, the 7th of November, my friend David Wood, who is a Christian apologist and well known for his debates with Muslims and atheists, he is going to be debating Mohammed Hijab on the theme Trinity or Tawheed. Tawheed, I think it's pronounced, I'm sorry. Trinity or Tawheed. And that is going to be held at the York College of Performing Arts, or the York College Performing Arts Center, I should say, in New York. The York College Performing Arts Center in New York. That is this Wednesday, November 7th at 6. I'm sorry. Let's see here. It's very tiny. At 6 p.m. I believe that is the time. And if you have, if you want more details on that, call toll-free at 866-323-3336. That's 866-323-3336. Then coming up this Friday and Saturday, November 9th and the 10th, I will be manning another exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology. It's being held once again at the Grace Bible Fellowship Church of Quakertown, Pennsylvania. That's this Friday and Saturday, November 9th and the 10th. The theme is the glory of the cross, and the speakers include David Garner, Ray Ortland, Richard Phillips, Timothy Gibson, and Carlton Wynn. If you'd like to register and join me there at the Quakertown Conference on Reformed Theology in Quakertown, Pennsylvania, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org. Then coming up in January, the G3 Conference returns to Atlanta, more specifically College Park, Georgia, to the Georgia International Convention Center. I will be once again manning an exhibitor's booth there as well, and they are expecting between 4,000 and 5,000 people there. So I would strongly urge you, if you have a business, professional practice, parachurch ministry, or church that you want to promote in that crowd of between 4,000 and 5,000 people, register for an exhibitor's booth as well, in addition to just registering to attend. I would love to have you registering for an exhibitor's booth nearby me, actually, as I will be there manning one for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at the Georgia International Convention Center. The dates are Thursday, January 17th through Saturday, January 19th, and there is a special Spanish-speaking edition of the conference on Wednesday, January 16th. But as far as the English-speaking conference is concerned, the speakers include James White, John Piper, Stephen Lawson, Vody Baucom, Conrad Mbewe, Tim Challies, Phil Johnson, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, and many more are on that roster. So if you want to join me there, either just by attending or by manning your own exhibitor's booth, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and I hope to see you there. Also, this January, from the 24th through the 26th, the Deep South Founders Conference is going to be held at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. And one of my favorite preachers, in fact, probably my favorite of all preachers on the planet Earth alive today, Conrad Mbewe, the pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and chancellor of the African Christian University. He is going to be there speaking at the Deep South Founders Conference, along with Rusty Reed, Gerald Henderson, Jason Goodwin, and Bobby Crenshaw. The theme is sanctification. If you would like to join me in Mississippi, this is my first trip to Mississippi. I'm looking forward to it. If you want to join me there, go to deepsouthfounders.com, deepsouthfounders.com to register. Again, that's going to be held January 24th through the 26th. And one last request, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want this program to disappear from the airwaves, you love sharing the free MP3s with family, friends, and loved ones. You love the guests and topics that are heard on this program that very often are never heard anywhere else. Well, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. And if you prefer snail mail, you can mail in a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please never siphon money away from the regular giving you're accustomed to your local church where you are a member. Never siphon money away from that. Never siphon money away from your family's dinner table and put your family in financial jeopardy. Those two things are commands of God. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability financially to obey those two commands and you love this show, please give as heavily as you can and as frequently as you can to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you'd like to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We truly could use your advertising dollars as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe here. You don't have to believe identically with me, but as long as whatever you're promoting is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign. And by the way, if you do not have a church home and you are not prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. Please rectify that situation immediately. If you do not have a church home and can't find one, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and say, I need a church home or something similar in the subject line. I will help you find one. I have helped many of our listeners all over the world find churches near them that are biblically faithful. I have lists of biblically sound churches all over the globe, so I hope to help you find one soon if you do not already have one. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com is the email address you can send in your request for me to help you find a church home. And that's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest today, Chaplain Collie Foster, as we examine the movie Indivisible and we can glean some life lessons from that. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. I'm just curious, have we been joined yet by Jenny Reese Clark?
Why, you sure have. I don't know for how long. I'm still waiting for a CT scan, but I can join in as much as I can.
Okay. Well,
how are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. I want to remind our listeners that Jenny Reese Clark is the wife of Chaplain Caleb Schumacher, who's in the 1st Battalion, 38th Field Artillery Regiment with the United States Army. She is a blogger, a motivational speaker, and the author of the novel Field of Influence. She saw the movie Indivisible, and she urged me to do a program on it. And why don't I immediately go to a question from our audience, Jenny, for you specifically. And I'm looking for that now. I had it just in front of me seconds ago. Okay, here it is. I have to enlarge it because the font on the email is microscopic. This is Jennifer from Fort Mitchell, Alabama. She says, Jenny, can you tell me how this movie, Indivisible, depicts being a chaplain's wife? Would you add any details to help us regular military spouses better understand the unique challenges chaplain couples and wives face?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. I actually think the movie did a fantastic job depicting what it is that chaplain couples face on an everyday basis. The film did phenomenal, I think. Getting those phone calls in the middle of the night, that my husband needs to wake up and go deliver news that someone has passed, or he cannot come home because someone needs counseling.
In fact, he's in South Korea right now.
Absolutely. It was very interesting. We actually had this conversation. One of the scenes in the movie was actually hit way too close to home. If you have seen the movie, there is a scene that goes on recently my grandfather passed away, and as you know, I am actually having this interview right now at a hospital because I'll be having surgery this coming Tuesday on my back, and I've been a little emotional over it. You know, I'm trying to get in touch with my husband just for some extra prayer and comfort, and I couldn't get in touch with my husband because he is covering for two battalions, and wanting that encouragement from him, and just kind of saying, hey, how come you didn't email me? Hey, how come I didn't hear from you? Hey, and he's like, hey, I'm trying to cover down for two battalions. Don't you understand? It's basically the same scenario. And so I guess to answer, what was her name? Jennifer's, what was her name?
Her name is just like yours, Jennifer.
Jennifer's question, to help them better understand that situation, what we go through is basically the same thing as, you know, what soldiers and they're you know, soldiers in regular life go through, except for we have the spiritual perspective. You know, we have the responsibility of being that moral compass, and all eyes are kind of on us as far as, like, how we respond to a certain situation. So we are kind of in the light. Collie, what do you think about that? Do you kind of agree with that?
I mean, the thing is, Jenny, I think we, as a chaplain and a chaplain's wife, we live in a fishbowl, and everybody's watching us.
Yes, but we're normal people, and so we too have the same, you know, we want comfort, we have the same needs as everyone else does. We want our husband's time with us, and we want to be able to have daddy blow out the candles, and we want, matter of fact, I went and picked up a chaplain's spouse from the hospital when she delivered her third baby because daddy couldn't be there. And, you know, like, we experience the same thing as you know, everyone else does, but that doesn't mean that just because we are in ministry or part of the UMT, which is the unit ministry team, we are shielded from those experiences, or we're immune to, like in the movie, things of PTSD. I mean, as you can see, the main character in the movie, he saw trauma. He saw things that were devastating, and it affected him. And he wasn't, you know, all the knowledge he had of the Bible and all the knowledge he had of God, in his humanity, it crushed him. You know, he doubted. I love the scene where he says, you know, I trusted God to save those men. He's like, no, dude, you trusted God to do what you wanted, you wanted him to do with those men. And, you know, it's a common problem that we all come across somewhere in our walk with God. You know, why, God, why would you do that to me? You know, we're all self-centered sometimes in our lives, if we're honest with ourselves. And, you know, just because we're chaplain and chaplain spouse doesn't make us, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. And so, you know, I think sometimes because the chaplain and chaplain spouse is part of the command team, a lot of times it can be lonely over there because, you know, people expect us to be perfect. They kind of expect us to have the perfect response. And, you know, we don't always have that. I was reading a book by Joanne Weaver, and it was Having a Merry Heart in the Martha World. And basically, there's a quote in there by Ruth Graham. And someone had asked her the question. They said, okay, Billy Graham was gone like an average of like 10 out of 12 months. Out of the year, and how do you handle that, Ruth? And I think that the comment was more meant to be critical to her, how do you deal with that? Is that really biblical? You know, because you're supposed to be family oriented, and how do you justify that? And one of the comments that, or what she responded back, turned around to be one of the biggest things that I have clung to as far as my role or what I have used in this whole atmosphere of having a husband that's deployed, whether it be into an active combat role or to an area that is still suffering from a war 50 years ago, like South Korea. She said in response to that, she said, well, you have to learn to make the most of what comes and the least of what goes. And I was like, oh, my God, that's brilliant. It's so simple, you know. And if we can learn to do that, I think that and apply that to, like, the situations, even with the things of war, you know, it will help us in how we process those very gross evils that we face and encounter when we deal with war. So, sorry, I didn't mean to get on the show and talk all the time away.
No, I want, obviously, since we don't even know when you're going to be disappearing from the program, I want to make sure that you have as much input as you possibly can. In fact, while we still have you here, we have a question from BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, for you, who says,
okay.
Will Jenny please respond to the difficulty that the chaplain's wife in the movie had that may reflect Jenny's own experience, where she was troubled by her husband's priorities, putting his comrades in arms above the needs and desires of her and her family. Although we can sympathize with this, and I know that even pastors who are not chaplains in the military have these same kind of dilemmas that they face, isn't it true that a chaplain's wife or a pastor's wife at least has to be prepared to know that this is going to be a part of their normal lives, where the joys they are experiencing or the intimate times they are enjoying may be interrupted at any moment with a call to duty, where that is the very reason these chaplains and pastors exist, where sometimes in the middle of the night they may be called from their homes and be forced to remain outside of the home for long hours, if not days?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I will tell you, my husband and I, when he comes back from being in Korea, we will have been married 4 years. And out of that 4 years, I will have only seen my husband two of those 4 years.
Wow.
And it is a great, great sacrifice for our country and our freedom. But I do believe that it is one that is worth it. I know it is extremely hard, but I know that it has caused us to lean on Christ. And there has been things that have challenged us greatly in our marriage. Things that it's definitely caused I'm not going to sit here and act like there hasn't been moments that it hasn't caused an argument, right? But I haven't said, wait a minute, what about me? I would be lying. I would be the biggest lie, and Collie Foster would know it. and I'm sure he's waiting on the other end of the line to go, she's a lie. he knows me all too well. But I think it is a calling. I think we're called to it, and I think that if you're not called to it, it will break you. And if you don't keep your eyes on the cross, and keep your perspective focused on Christ and remembering what He did on that cross, you know, nothing about the cross was comfortable. It was all about sacrifice. And if there is ever a moment where I look at my situation and go, how is this fair? You know, then I won't see it. You know, I'll miss it. But if I look at my situation and say, you know, in the process of laying down, you know, our life and our sacrifice, are people going to have the opportunity to hear the gospel? Are people going to have the opportunity to then know who God is? With my husband being able to go over and shine his light in these dark, dark places, there are very, very few opportunities ever granted for people. And Carly will tell you, can tell you about this more than I would ever be able to tell you about this. And I'm just a spouse. And I admire greatly the Chaplain Corps, because they have the opportunity to go in to these places that the common man will never, ever have the opportunity to witness. But they can go into the battlefield. They can go into the darkest places, coming back from war, these hospitals of wounded men where parts are absolutely completely raw, they're broken open, ready to just receive the gospel. Even in basic training, those kids leave home, they're scared to death. They just left their mom and dad. They're like, oh, I don't want to be here, I don't know what up there, what did I sign up for? Man, they are so ready to hear about a daddy in heaven that will love them unconditionally, even though their drill sergeant can't stand them. And they receive the gospel, and they get saved, and they get baptized, and they begin their new lives with Jesus Christ. I mean, they have the neatest job. Being a chaplain is so cool. And so, yes, sometimes I have to give up my husband in the middle of the night. Sometimes I have to give him up for a year at a time. Sometimes I have to give him up for him to go away to ranger school and fail the ranger school and spend bukus of money, and he still fails. But you know what? Do you know how many people he has had the opportunity to baptize and lead to Jesus Christ? It makes it all worth it. It makes it all worth it. And just like Ruth Graham said, you learn to make the most of what comes and the least of what goes. Right. And just like that, my little pager just buzzed, and I have to go get a CT scan.
Okay, well, I really appreciate you joining us while you could, Jenny. And if you can call back after that, during the last portion of our show, feel free to. And
yes, sir.
And we will be praying for you and your health there. And thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And
bye, Colin.
Bye-bye now. By the way, I forgot to mention to Jennifer in Fort Mitchell, Alabama, that you have won, since you are a first-time questioner on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you have won a free New American Standard Bible. So please give me your full mailing address there in Fort Mitchell, Alabama, so that can be shipped out to you, and obviously your full name as well. Thank you very much for joining us on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're going to our final break right now. And once again, if anybody would like to join us with a question for Chaplain Collie Foster and perhaps even Jennifer Reese Clark, who might be able to join us again while we're still on the air. I don't know that because she still is in the hospital getting tests. But if you have a question for either or both of them, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, that's Providence Baptist Church, ma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers,
digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries. Go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Del Cor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight
for me. Tons of stuff going on, yeah. Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read.
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget to please order as much as you can from Solid Ground Christian Books at solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com, because Mike Gadosh, the founder of Solid Ground Christian Books, recently suffered from a severe financial setback due to being laid up in the hospital before, during, and after very serious and complicated and dangerous open-heart surgery. So while he was laid up, he definitely had a financial setback in regard to sales. So please try to replenish what was lost by purchasing as much as you can, especially with the holidays coming up, from solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And even if you're ordering from our other book distributor, cvbbs.com, our other sponsor, you can order Solid Ground Christian Books from CVBBS. You go to Solid Ground Christian Books at solid-ground-books.com, make a long list of books that you want to purchase, and then you could go to cvbbs.com and purchase them because they carry all of Solid Ground Christian Books titles. So you could make both of those sponsors of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio happy. We are now back with our final segment today with Chaplain Colley Foster. We are discussing the movie Indivisible and what lessons can be learned from this movie. If you have questions of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And we have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who has a question. I want to know what Chaplain Colley Foster has to say in regard to an earlier question. It must be an absolutely difficult task to be able to balance being there for your wife and children and at the same time meeting the needs that you have been called to meet as a chaplain, dealing with soldiers, etc., just as pastors do, but it's even more complicated and perhaps even more difficult as a chaplain. How do you do that without denying the attention that wife and children need?
Well, before I answer that, I wanted to add one little comment to the last question that Jenny addressed. You know, I think, and this will probably kind of help answer this question as well. I'm a firm believer that when God calls a man into the ministry, he calls the wife, and he has to, in many cases, work in the wife's life first, and that's the way it was in my wife and my relationship. You know, we were married for about 12 to 13 years when I came onto active duty. Jenny had said that they'd been married for 4 years, but you know, they were not Caleb had come into the military before they got married. And God actually began to work in my wife's life before he did mine. I think preparing her for the call on my life, because she was actually, I was looking at making a change in my the direction I was going, and one day she came home from work where I know that God had been working with her, and her comment to me was, "Why aren't you an Army chaplain?" And God had been working with her and had been, you know, I think dealing with her heart about it before he ever dealt with my heart about the call into the military chaplaincy. So that goes to, it kind of leads into the question that was brought for me is I think, you know, God works in the lives of both individuals, the wife and the husband. And I think that, in our case, mine and my wife's relationship, God was working with her first, preparing her heart to be able to accept the demands that would be placed on my life, whether it be deployment, whether it be being called out at 2 o'clock in the morning to a crisis situation, whatever it might be. I've been very blessed as a chaplain in the Army and now as a chaplain in the corporate world to have a wife who is very dedicated to God, who has supported me 100%, and who has, I think, God has, and the reason for that is that God dealt with her first in preparing her heart to be able to take on the demands, because it is a great demand, and not just for chaplains and their spouses, but for all military personnel and their families. It's a big demand that's placed on them. So to add to the question that was raised for me, you take advantage of every opportunity that you have to spend time together, whether it's with your worshiping together, whether you're being entertained or involved in recreation together, whatever it might be, you just take every opportunity to spend the time together. I'm not sure if that quite answered the listener's question, but I hope so.
And I'm assuming that, and I think Jenny has joined us again, right? I thought that I heard.
Yes, I have.
Oh, great. One of the things I wanted
welcome back, Jenny.
One of the things that I want. One of the things that I wanted to say is that obviously both with a chaplain and with a pastor, I'm assuming you would agree that even though those individuals who have unique callings in life have to be prepared to race to the aid of people who are in genuine need. Obviously, I have heard horror stories from pastors who think that there are all kinds of trivial reasons that people should justifiably wake up their pastor in the middle of the night and have them race to their homes, when it's can sometimes reach the level of nonsensical. And actually, you're actually doing something sinful, because you're robbing that pastor not only of sleep, but of time with his family. But having said that, although a pastor needs to be able to respond to a call at a moment's notice on occasion, especially if he does not have enough deacons or fellow elders to help him in those emergency situations, a pastor really has to, and a chaplain, I'm assuming you would agree, has to really balance what is truly important. Like, for instance, Jenny, I'm assuming that you would not want your husband, Caleb, as a chaplain, to be abandoning you and your children in the middle of the night or whenever it is. It might be in the middle of an important family gathering or something, just because one of the soldiers under his shepherding is depressed or something like that. Of course, barring threats of suicide or something, you can't just leave your family just because somebody wants you to minister that to them. Am I right?
Well, yes, there is ways to do things. There's meeting in the office, of course, 0800 for counseling, if someone is, of course, not a threat to themselves or others. I think one of the big things is it's very, very easy in the military to neglect your own Sabbath time, just because you are constantly on the go. The Army keeps rolling along. It's one of their slogans. And as a part of the Chaplain Corps and UMT, you are caring for the, nurturing the living, caring for the wounded, and honoring the dead. And that's what you do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And finding time for your family is hard, but finding time to really, really rest in the shadow of the Almighty and honor the Sabbath can be very challenging. I don't know, Colly, do you agree with that?
Well, I do, and I was going to add, I had a chaplain, a friend of mine years ago. I was actually working at the Army Hospital in Fort Gordon, Georgia. And, you know, a hospital chaplain, you respond to so many different crisis situations where people have lost their health and it may lose to, you know, lose their life to an illness or whatever. And he told me one time, he said, I'll try to share the story as briefly and as without giving a whole lot away. Had a call one night about 10 or 11 o'clock at night that this patient was, wanting to see the chaplain. So I was asking, some questions about it. What's it about? Well, the nursing staff really couldn't tell me other than the person was lonely. And so this chaplain taught me to ask a few questions. One, are they still going to be alive the next day? Is their mental status going to change between 11 o'clock at night and 7:30 in the morning? And if those things are not going to happen, that is, if they're not going to pass or they're not going to lose their ability to be cognitive and be able to communicate, he said, 7:30 in the morning, they can see you. That way, it protects your family from those just because somebody's lonesome. And that goes for, patients, soldiers, whatever it might be. We're always, I struggled with that in my own life because I'm a caring person and I want to reach out and help everyone. But he taught me such a great lesson that I've got to protect my family and the time that we have together. And that was one way that he taught me to do it, was just to, how serious is the situation and can it wait till tomorrow?
Right, and it's a struggle, and I'm just saying, we don't have our 20 years in yet, and we haven't made it to Collie Foster level yet. so we still struggle with that, where we are in our military lives, because I'm just like my husband, too. We're just like Collie. We're obviously, we're chaplain spouse. We both have a heart for ministry, and so when we hear someone in need, desperate, and they reach out, and then they have, like, their friends and everybody who works with them reach out, and then you're like, okay, we got to go do this. you call the wife, I'll call the husband type thing, and sometimes we'll tag team, and, sometimes, that's wonderful, but then, date night's date night, you got to nurture your own your own relationship, or then it grows unhealthy, and that's definitely not God-honoring, and if you're not healthy, obviously you can't go and then help anybody else. So, agree to that.
That's right. I agree with you 100%.
One of the things that I was pleased about in the film Indivisible was there seemed to be the declaration of the truth that once someone departs from this earth, it is on the precise moment that God has decreed it to occur. I happen to be a Calvinist, and when I hear the truths that are very often vacant from the pulpits and TV sets and radio stations across the world that are vacant of sometimes truths that are truly biblical, I was very pleased to hear that in the movie, and I'm assuming that when you minister to people who have lost loved ones in battle, who are involved in the military, there must be a great dilemma there. On the one hand, we know that God is in control, and we know that the judge of all the earth will do what is right. But at the same time, I'm assuming you would both agree that we have to be very careful about getting entrapped in sentimentality where a false gospel is declared in order to comfort people. There are people out there in the media who would say that anybody whose life is taken on the battlefield because of the fact that that person is an American hero, that that person will be in heaven. And, of course, we even heard that with all the victims who perished at 9/11. All of those people we have heard are in heaven by some people giving an unbiblical message of comfort. How do you balance those things when you're approaching people at the worst moments of their life where you want to be truthful? And obviously, if the person isn't saved, you don't know that with certainty. You don't make declarations about people and the afterlife when you don't know exactly what was in their heart before they left this earth and entered into eternity, of course. But how do you balance the notion of being truthful, biblical, faithful to what God has taught, and giving comfort to the families of those who have perished in the military? And we'll start with you, Chaplain Foster, and then Jenny, anything else that you care to add?
I knew you would ask me first.
He better ask first. You're the chaplain.
I know, and that is one of the hardest things.
Hey, Chris Harnson is a tough interviewer.
Yes,
he is going to ask tough questions. That's what he's known for.
Right. That's a difficult question to really answer because I mean you want to be sensitive to the loss that a person has had, but at the same time you've got to be true to the gospel. And oftentimes I will, if at all possible, I will try my best to try to get a feel for a person's faith background, were they a Christian? Because many times families can kind of relate to that, and then they can let you know. I guess at that particular moment, and maybe it's maybe not the best, but I've always tried to work with the family in being sensitive to their grief at the moment, and then if the opportunity arises, then I can bring about the truth that if your loved one knew Christ, they are in heaven with Him right now, and if they did not know Christ, then I have to be honest with them that they are not spending eternity in heaven. That's one of the hardest things that I have to do as a chaplain, and that I've ever had to do, even when I pastored churches, is to balance those two things. So with that, I'm going to pass it to Jenny and see what she has to say.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming Jenny, as a pastor, I mean, as a chaplain's wife, that there are occasions when you have to minister to the wives and families of military, especially during sad times such as the loss of a loved one.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I am a truth sayer and always have been, and never been one to lie to people or sugarcoat things, but there is a sensitivity during times when people are grieving, and I think that there is a time and a place for everything under the sun, according to Ecclesiastes. And I think Collie is right. When I have listened to my husband minister to those who have experienced loved ones who have passed, he is very good about learning, because a lot of times, you'll be called in for to do veterans who have passed, memorial that, of course, he's never met in person before. He will be called out to, you know, the national cemeteries to meet families that he has never known, to get to know, to do a service, a military honors, for people he's never known before, and having to learn what their religious preferences and beliefs are, and you know, praying that, you know, there is going to be some Jesus there. And then, you know, sometimes you'll hear, of course, you know, things that will allow you to, you know, witness to the family, and then, of course, things that confirm that there is faith there. And then, you know, then there's times that you're like, okay, how do you go about, how do you go about this very gently? I do not believe in giving false hope. I think that the world has done that for people. I believe that's what happened to me during my recovery. That's what drugs did. It gave me false hope. This is going to make you feel better.
In fact, people listening might not be aware that Jenny is a woman who formerly was a drug addict and drug dealer, and her testimony can be heard archived at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you type her name in the search engine, but that's what she was referring to in regard to recovery.
Oh, yeah, probably just, they were like, what? They were probably like, what is she?
Prior to her salvation, I don't know if I put that in there. Prior to her salvation, she was.
Sorry, hold on, everybody. I have a very colorful history speaking here. And when we talk about PTSD and all the war stuff, you're talking about a special chaplain life here. I'm someone who actually knows what it's like to be in a building that has blown up, and I'm actually a chaplain's spouse who has been in a vehicle that has caught fire from the inside. And I'm actually one of those chaplain spouses who's been ejected from a car going 78 miles an hour and broken bukus of bones and back and pelvis. And so I know what trauma is, and I know what being in the car with bullets flying by feels like. And so I kind of understand the PTSD aspect of things, like the chaplain experienced in the movie, more so than the average chaplain spouse. But I also understand the chaplain spouse because my husband's a chaplain and I am a woman and I want my husband home. So that's where this movie kind of hits home, and I kind of have an interesting perspective on that. But back to what we were talking about, is I don't believe in administering false hope to people. I think that is what Satan is an expert at. We've got a lot of that out there. But I think that we do have to be sensitive to people,
right,
especially during times of grief and things like that. So,
right.
Yes,
a very wise pastor told me that funerals are far more intended to be targeting those among us that are still alive. There's no reason for a minister at a funeral service or a burial service to be an expert on the person who has passed, and they don't need to unnecessarily provide information about the afterlife of that individual, because we are not omniscient and we don't know what may have happened in the final moments of that person's life when it comes
Absolutely.
To faith. I mean, there are rare occasions when people are with someone who is cursing God to the very last breath. That's a rare thing. But we shouldn't jump to some conclusion that we can know with certainty that somebody left this earth without faith. Therefore, those that are gathered at a funeral service, or as they're often called, wakes, or burial services, the people that are listening, they're the ones that still have life and breath and a beating heart, who need to know the gospel before they depart from this earth, and their eternity is still ahead of them. So they are the primary audience. Of course, God is first and foremost the primary audience, but on this earth, the primary audience would be the people that are gathered there alive. And if you could, I just want to make sure our listeners have all of your contact information. First of all, I know that Corporate Chaplains of America is website is chaplain.org. Chaplain.org. Do you have any other contact information that you care to share, Chaplain Colley Foster?
know, and the bad thing is I do not have information in front of me, but if they, if anyone is interested in learning more, they can go to the website, and on the website there should be contact information that they, if they wanted to speak to someone, you know, personally about the organization, the phone number should be on the website.
And anybody wanting to contact Jenny Reese Clark, you could go to her website, which is very easy to remember, jennyreeseclark.com. Jenny Reese, and that's spelled R-E-E-S-E, Clark, with no at the no E at the end. It's just C-L-A-R-K.com, jennyreeseclark.com. I want to thank both of you for being on the program. If you want to see The Indivisible movie and want to find out where a theater near you is playing it, go to indivisiblemovie.com, indivisiblemovie.com. I want to thank both of you for being on the program. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who wrote in questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.